Page 355. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I invite you to join me as we say together the Gloria on page 356. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart, and united to one another with pure affection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the second book of Samuel, chapter 5. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Look, we are your bone and flesh. For some time, while Saul was king over us, it was you who led out Israel and brought it in. The Lord said to you, 'It is you who shall be shepherd of my people Israel, you who shall be ruler over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and at Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. David occupied the stronghold and named it the City of David. David built the city all around from the middle inward, and David became greater and greater for the Lord. The God of hosts was with him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 48, found on your insert. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised.
In the city of our God is his holy hill.
Beautiful and lofty, the joy of the earth is in the hill of Zion.
The very center of the world and the city of the great king.
God is in her citadels.
He is known to be her sure refuge.
Behold, the kings of the earth assembled
and marched forward together.
They looked and were astounded.
They retreated and fled in terror.
Trembling seized them there.
They cried like a woman in childbirth, like ships of the sea when the east wind shatters.
As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God.
God has established her forever.
We have waited in silence for your loving kindness, O God.
in the midst of your temple.
Your praise, like your name, O God, reaches to the world's end.
Your right hand is full of justice.
Let Mount Zion be glad, and the cities of Judah rejoice.
Because of your judgments.
May the servant of Zion walk round about her. Consider what her bow are. Examine her strongholds.
May you resolve those who triumph.
This God is our God forever and ever.
He shall be our God forevermore.
A reading from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 12. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, was caught up in paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our sequence hymn is number 707. Number 707.
Thank you.
Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kind, and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Jesus said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So Mary and I were at Vacation Bible School, VBS, last week. Thank you, Mary. She had the fifth and sixth graders. Boy, were they a lively group with lots of questions and lots of answers and lots of energy. Not the same energy as the five kindergarten boys. God bless those teachers. There was not a girl in that group. But it was the wilderness escape, and I was Moses. And yes, 90 degrees, me, Moses, fully dressed with a robe on top. And I told the kids that I shaved my beard because it was too hot. But of course, the Israelites, it was the wilderness escape. We got to hear all the stories of the Israelites whining and complaining. "We're too hot. It's too far. I'm too hungry. It's too..." And so I have a sidekick, as all good storytellers have a sidekick, Luke Martello, God bless him. So he was known as Malachi, otherwise known as the wilderness whiner. He's the one who would come in every day and say, "I'm hungry, I'm scared." So the purpose of this whole week was to learn to trust God. So the first day, God parted the Red Sea and they crossed. But before that happened, Malachi was whining about the horses are coming, the Pharaoh's army is coming, and we all stomped our feet and clapped our hands to sound like the horse is coming. And we learned that God is always with us, so trust God. And the kids had to respond, "So trust God." The second day, they were hungry in the wilderness, and we learned about the manna and the quail. And we say, God knows all our needs, so trust God. The third day, Moses and the Israelites were fighting the Amalekites. And when Moses would hold up his staff, they'd start to win. And when his arms sank, they would start to lose. And so Aaron and Hur held up his arm, and we learned that God gives us strength. So trust God. The fourth day, it was a little tough teaching kindergartners about the Passover. We painted with red paint over the doorpost as we went in and prayed for our family's safety and talked about this was the 10th plague, and Pharaoh finally said, "Leave quickly in a hurry." And we learned that God saves us, so trust God. And the fifth day, we learned the 10 commandments. And poor Malachi, the wilderness whiner, so the instruction said to get two rat traps. And I never set a rat trap. They're huge, and they have a really strong spring. And then 10 other little traps. And Malachi had to get barefoot blindfolded and follow Moses over to where his toes were. We started about a foot from the mousetrap, and then got, you know, so we were like an inch from the mousetrap as Moses sprung it with his yes. And so we warned all the parents yes when they're talking about mousetraps. But it's the danger that happens to us, the traps we fall into when we don't follow the commandments. And boy, did they learn. And, you know, like the fifth, sixth grade boys, but we didn't get Malachi a single time, although he didn't jump every time it snapped. God guides us. So trust God. And at the end of the week, I asked them, if God is always with us, if God knows what we need, if God gives us strength, if God saves us, if God guides us, then what do we have to fear? But what I know as an adult, the idea of trusting God, yeah, theoretically, intellectually, sure, I trust God. But do I live that way? Do I live my life as if I trust God with my very being? Like the song we just sang, take my life and let it be consecrated all to thee. Lord, I'm giving you my all because I trust. So the readings we hear today are those faithful followers, giving us an example of how to be faithful followers, how to actually trust in God with our very being. The last couple of weeks we've been hearing about David, David who was anointed as a teenager to be the next king, the future king. And then we hear about David and Goliath, how he slew David with a pebble. But because he trusted in God, he said, God will let me do this. God will help me do this. Last week we heard about the death of Saul and of his beloved friend, Jonathan, Saul's son. And we heard his lament. And at the end of the lament, he said, but I trust in God, the Lord who will save me. Over and over and over, David was tested and trusted. And today he becomes king. The tribes of Israel are saying, you're the one who actually led us when Saul was king, so now it's your job. But the Lord God said to David, it is you who shall shepherd my people Israel. You shall be ruler over Israel. It wasn't the people who anointed David, it was God. And David trusted in that. And today we don't hear of all his ups and downs, his strengths and his weaknesses, all the foibles that he did. What we hear is that he ruled for 40 years. He built the city of David right up against the city of Jerusalem. He led the people, and he led the people according to God's word. He trusted completely. He said yes. And what I love at the end, it says, and David became greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. God is with us. So trust God. Which then leads us to 2 Corinthians. This is the next time that Paul is writing to the Corinthians, because the Corinthians might as well be the wilderness whiners. They're the ones who are saying, I don't want to do it that way. And they start complaining about Paul's authority. Who gave you the authority to do this? Questioning him, challenging him, and saying that the other missionaries and prophets who came around, like they actually knew Jesus. And their words speak more wisdom, and they interpret the stories a little bit differently. And by the way, you're like really small. And what does Paul do? He says by what authority he does this. He says that it's by God's grace. He says, the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul talks about the thorn in his side, the thorn that Satan put there. And three times he has prayed to God to please remove this thorn. And then he gets it. We've all got thorns in our sides. We all face temptations. We all face the same struggles day after day, year after year. And yet, when we trust that God's grace is sufficient, then we can boast in our weakness. We can be okay with, yeah, I'm short and unimpressive, or I'm tall and unimpressive. And Paul said, so I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, I am strong. What if we really believed that? That God's grace is sufficient for us. That we can even brag about our weakness, boast of our weaknesses, because Christ is in us, and with Christ we are strong. Which then echoes the story that we hear today from the gospel. Jesus goes to his hometown and he starts preaching, and he had been healing. He had been taking his disciples, casting out demons, teaching, preaching, healing. And what do? The people in his hometown say, who gave him the authority? Who is he anyway? What kind of a teaching is this? Isn't he Mary's son? You know, the kid down the street? We know him. And Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. And yet, with the hardships, the persecutions, he trusted in God. He knew who he was. And so what did he do? He sent out his disciples two by two. And I can only imagine those first disciples, just like us, saying, I'm not quite ready yet. I think I need like 10 more years of education. Or I don't have the gifts. Or I'm too shy to do it. And yet Jesus sent them out two by two, and not only two by two with everything they owned, but take no food, no money, no bag. Take the clothes you're wearing and don't even take an extra tunic or coat. Go into the different villages. I'm giving you the authority. Jesus is passing on his power to the disciples. I'm giving you the authority to preach and teach and heal and cast out demons. And he said, if they reject you, move on. And when they let you in, stay there. Show them, tell them the stories. Show them the power of God. Jesus turns to us and asks the same thing. Jesus says, I know that your gifts aren't mighty. We each have small gifts. We each have challenges. We each face persecution and hardships. And yet, Jesus trusts us, invites us to say yes, to go out into the world and to test the waters. And when we're rejected, shake off your sandals and keep moving. But when you're accepted, to settle in for a minute. Share the story, share the good news, share the words of hope and healing and casting out the demons that torment each and every one of us. Assure them that God is with them so that they can trust God. Assure each one of us and all your friends that God knows our needs so we can trust God. That God gives us strength. You can tell your story of how God has given you the strength to do things that you didn't think you could do. So we trust God. God keeps us safe. I'm guessing each and every one of you, if you haven't experienced it yourself, you know someone who has a near-death experience. The car was skidding and the cliff was coming, and yet God saved them. They had that disease, and yet God saved them. And yes, we know of many, many others who have died, and yet we know they too are saved. So trust God. And God guides us through the Holy Spirit. We are given the Holy Spirit in baptism to guide us. So I'll say it again. If God truly is with us,
knows our needs, saves us, strengthens us, guides us, what have we to fear? Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and join me in saying the Nicene Creed, found on page 358 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 358. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and his Son. With the Father and his Son, he is worshipped and glorified. Yes. He has spoken to the cross. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
There is the post form 300, page 387 of the Red Prayer Book. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
And that you may be glorified by all people.
We pray for our bishops, priests and deacons,
that they may be faithful ministers of the Lord and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world,
that there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake,
that our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble,
that they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and help for those of others, especially Jeff and Eliza, Jeanette, Seth, Bradley, Chris, Gail, Cody J, Don M, Kim L, Ray, Amanda and Billy, Bonnie, Carson, Ann, Laura, Ashlyn, Betty, Jerry, Cheryl, Jean, Brian, Cheryl, Douglas, Richard, Kathy, Lindsay, Tammy S, John and Miriam, Heather, Andy, Jim and Marietta, Colleen, Steve, the food pantry, students and teachers, first responders, those suffering from addiction, those in the military, and those who mourn.
Thank
For Andrew, for our brothers and sisters in Surfside, Florida.
And we have the green.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I invite you to turn to page 360 for the confession. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have done undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please be seated. Just a couple of announcements. They're not all in the insert. We are having flowers on the altar again, as you can see. If you would like to have flowers in memory or in thanksgiving of someone, there's envelopes in the back. We ask for a donation of $30, and we'll put in the bulletin who it's in memory of or in thanksgiving for. Mission dinners, we give you thanks because we have been feeding this family for quite some time, and we are ever so grateful. When I saw Amanda and the family at the Baccalaureate service, they just couldn't thank us enough for how much this helps them in their day-to-day life. So Mary is handling the dinners for the month of July. Call her if you can make a dinner, or if you can provide a frozen meal, like one of the Stouffer's lasagna or mac and cheese or something. And she'll let you know what days are available and the meal before and the meal after, so they don't get lasagna 3 meals in a row, although I would eat it 3 meals in a row. All right, we need coffee hour hosts. The sign-up sheet for coffee hour is next to the coffee pot, as it's always been. The Petruzzo Durr family is serving us coffee hour on the 18th, and then you're coming to my house for a potluck picnic on the 25th, but we need somebody for next week. And the sign-up sheet for that is next to the coffee pot. The sign-up sheet for the potluck picnic, if you can make it, is on the center table in the parish hall. Or you can email me or call me and let me know what you plan to bring and that you plan to come. Are there any other announcements that you can think of? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. I invite you to come down the center aisle to receive the host and then go back down the side aisles to your pew. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Page 365. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now to the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Thank you.